Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, this is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. How are you doing? I'm your Chief Profitability Officer, your sales evangelist, if you will. Thank you for listening in. E3C stands for Entrepreneurship, Empowerment, and Evolution. The C stands for Connect, Collaborate, and Create. What we do is we show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. You can check out our website at Better Sales and Profits Now. That's Better Sales and Profits Now. We want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Today, we're going to talk about passion, intuition, and entrepreneurship. We have Deborah Hill, intuitive coach and counselor. She's a speaker and author of a really great book. I've read it. It's wonderful. It got my head thinking about ideas, and I couldn't put it down. The title is Unlimited Life, Limiting Beliefs, and Belief-Busting Power Truths, and she's going to share a little bit about that. What it talks about is how you can focus on limiting your beliefs and how to turn that negative thoughts in this slowing, waning economy into expanding your business. Now, Deborah Hill has been actively involved in healing and coaching others throughout her adult life. First, she was a registered nurse and a nurse midwife. Finally, she became an intuitive coach, author, speaker, teacher, and therapist and artist. Her extensive experience includes, get this, 4 degrees in science and psychology and 20 years of being an entrepreneur. I love talking with entrepreneurs. Running her own business. And Deborah has studied many forms of natural and traditional healing, as well as counseling and coaching and spiritual disciplines and helping teachers over the past 35 years. So I'm really happy to have Deborah Hill with me, and we'll bring her on. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. It's exciting to be here.
So how did you get started with this intuitive business of yours?
I've always been intuitive. I've always had the ability to see things and hear things and know things that other people didn't seem to be picking up. But for most of my life, while I used it myself, I didn't tell anybody about it because I thought it was kind of crazy. You know, it just wasn't accepted. And then about 15 years ago, I met a teacher who helped me to realize the extent of my ability and trained me to use it in my coaching practice and in my counseling. So with my counseling and psychology background from medicine and also all the work that I'd done in natural healing, I was able to combine all the different occupations, including being an entrepreneur, with the skills that he taught me on how to get in touch with where someone is on their path and where they're stuck and help them to take it to the next place.
Well, I'm really happy that you joined us this morning. I'm really excited to learn more about what you're doing. Now, most of the people that listen to this program are entrepreneurs.
Great.
How are you able to help entrepreneurs with this intuitive stuff? How does that work? So entrepreneurs come to you, business owners come to you and say, help me out. How do you do that?
Well, when someone comes to me in general, entrepreneurs, I love working with them because they have a great spirit. It means that you're brave, for one thing, and you're ready to make change. And also, being an entrepreneur, there's a lot of pressure to change. because you've got to make it work, and you want help to do that. So you're willing to use the information that I have and take it to the next level. So I can help entrepreneurs in many ways, because when people come to me, I can see where they're stuck or where they're trying to go on their path, and we can talk from a very deep level. And I can also see other businesses and their business and their employees. I can give information on how things are going with their business and things that they can do within themselves and in their business life to help them succeed. Either
that's
from
really
starting the business. Like one person came to me one day. She had a jewelry business, and she was really trying to make it work. And I said, but you hate doing jewelry. She said, yes,
what is her response?
She said, I have to make money. You have to do what you love. And I looked and I said, but you love doing interior design. And she said, well, I do, but it's really hard to make money at it. And she learned feng shui and all these other things. I said, that's what you have to do. You have to do what you love, and then they will bring that to you. So she came back to me one more time, and we talked about it. And then this is what happens with my clients. They get too busy. She's just was hired by Macy's, and she's has her own business, and she's just so popular doing interior design and feng shui that she just took off like a rocket.
So you were right, and she was wrong, but she wasn't following her passion.
Exactly. And I gave her helped to give her the courage to do that and show her why that has to work. You see, she had a limiting belief that she couldn't make money doing interior design. But the truth is she could make more money because that's what she loved and that there was a place for her.
So is it just okay just to have a passion? If you're passionate about what you do, will that guarantee success?
If you're really passionate about what you do and you do it, then it
mm-hmm.
will make a success. You have to go with your gut, too, and feeling like I feel like I need to work and I need to get myself out there. Like you can use the law of attraction, you know, described in The Secret, really works. First, you have to define what it is you want. You have to really decide on really wanting to be successful and how successful you want to be. And you have to define what your job will look like, what your career will look like. And then you have to get rid of all resistance that you have for that happening.
And
you have to ask for it, yes?
Uh-huh.
And then you have to let it go.
Okay, so that you just mentioned The Secret and the steps to being successful with the law of attraction. So why don't you, I guess, go over those steps one more time. So it's five steps, correct?
There are five steps.
And the first step is?
Is you have to really have a strong desire for this to happen.
Okay.
Sometimes people have to create a lot of stress and pain in their life before they're willing to really want something.
Is that where the passion comes in with the first step?
Well, they have to really get passionate about wanting it to happen.
Okay, you got to want it.
Yeah.
And number two.
At a really deep level. And then you have to define what it is you want. You take a piece of paper and how much money do you want to make a year? What kind of clients do you want to have? That's really important. When I became an entrepreneur, I decided I only want clients who respected me, appreciated me, paid me on time, and loved what I did for them.
Okay,
and that was very important to me. And
sometimes that's so hard when you're an entrepreneur, so you have to get the check and cash it and keep going. Sometimes it's hard to turn down, I would say, bad business or people that just not the right fit for you because you want to, you know, stay profitable, stay above board. But you say have courage and limit and select your clients or customers well, and then that will help you build your business.
Well, you have to decide that that's what you want, and then then you put it out there to the universe. Release all resistance to that happening. Like if you have a belief that you have to take every client or you're not going to make the rent, you need to let go of that belief.
Okay, so that was number three, is to remove all resistance to having it. Number three, so how do you remove the resistance? What do you mean by that?
You have to look at what parts of yourself do not work with this particular, where do you have tension? Where are you holding
mm-hmm.
yourself up? Because mm-hmm. what I've seen in the past is that a lot of people are able to really create effectively using this system, and some people it just doesn't work at all. And the reason it's not working is you may have a belief within you that's preventing that from happening. It can be any kind of belief, like I'm not worthy of having, I'm not able to have a business of this profitability, that I have bad luck. Maybe your mother told you that you weren't intelligent and you don't believe that you can be intelligent. You have to look where the anxiety is, where you feel uncomfortable, look at your feelings and your thoughts about yourself, and pinpoint where you're stuck. And
when
then
you say remove all the resistance, does that mean not being in contact with people that are negative? Is that, or just making sure that you've got nobody stopping you? Or
I'm talking about resistance within yourself to having it.
Okay. All right.
You see, when you the five steps are define, really create a desire, define what you want, then remove resistance, put it out to the universe, and then let go. And then things are going to come to you, and this was related to the question you asked before. The universe is going to send you stuff to do. And if you feel like there, you'll feel this feeling like I need to do something, you need to work. If you decided I need a bunch of new clients, you need to go out into the world and at least network so that the universe can bring those clients to you.
So you got to have that passion along with the action.
Well,
just having the passion
is
not going to cut it.
What feels right.
Right. Okay.
You just can't make it up in your head. But if you feel like you need to be out there doing things to make it work. However, in the resistance phase, if you're doing all those things and it's not working, then you need to look again at the resistance phase within yourself. You see, our thoughts and our beliefs define us. You're like a radio tower that's projecting these ideas out into the universe. And if you project that I'm a failure, you're going to get back failure. You have to look at what you're projecting within yourself, because the universe can't bring you something if you don't believe that you can have it.
Okay. Sometimes, so number one was create a strong desire within you. Two is clearly define what you want. Number three is remove all resistance to having it. And four is to ask for it. So how do you ask for what you want? How does that work?
It's pretty much you have to have faith, knowing that what you ask for will come to you. You can do it within prayer. You can do it in meditation. You can write it down, and some people will do a burning bowl where they'll write it down and put it in the bowl and burn it and know that it's gone out to the universe. You just have to, at a very deep level, ask for it, and you have to really feel like you're connected, within, and that you're really sending it out. That's why prayer or some sort of deep meditation is a really good place to do that.
Well, and number five is to allow it to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
That seems pretty easy. Allow it to come to you, right?
It is. If you keep asking and saying, where's the business? I don't have business. I need business. Then you're nagging, but you're also saying, I don't have business. I don't have business. I need business. Says I don't have business. You keep putting out that you don't have business and you're going to get back no business.
Okay.
So what you're doing is saying, I imagine, I visualize my business doing really well and being successful and all the criteria being matched. And when you do that, then you have to know that it's going to happen and just let it go and not think about it. just have faith that that's going to happen.
Now, in your book, Unlimited Life, Limiting Beliefs and Belief Busting Power Truths, what was the reason behind you writing this book?
Well, as I said, I've been working and coaching people for so long, and I have noticed that some people are able to create their lives and just make it happen, and other people don't. And when I meet with people, I see there are beliefs within them, like that person who believed that in order to make money, she had to do jewelry, or she was so talented in this other area. So I'm just the kind of person who loves to give a lot of information, likes to help people. I'm sort of a help people junkie. I'm addicted to seeing people transform. And I've done a lot of work throughout the years, and I have a lot of experience, and I really like to share it. So I wrote this book to help people to be able to change their lives. And I tried to make it fun and funny with a lot of cartoons. And then I give 16 limiting beliefs that a lot of people have and talk about why those beliefs aren't real. And then I give a belief-busting power truth that you can change your belief system with so that you can have a different life.
Okay, let's talk about one. And if you want to give us a call, we got lines open. Line is 646-716-7099. That's 646-716-7099. What is one of your favorite of the 16 limiting beliefs? What is one of the ones that you would like to share with our listeners?
Oh, boy, it's hard to pick a favorite because they all come in at different times.
The first one, it's too much for me. I just can't do it. You got another one. I don't have enough time. Sounds like entrepreneurs sometimes. I can't do it. I don't have enough time. Another one is I can't accurately visualize my future. There's so many here. I mean, I don't have enough time. There's one where I talk about it, embracing the unknown. But what is one that you like?
Again, I use all of these beliefs all the time. We can address them. The first one, like you said, it's too much for me. I just can't do it. The truth is energetically, if something is put on your path, that means that you can do it.
Wow.
You are capable of it, because it would be impossible for someone to ask you to do something that you can't do. Now, they may ask you to do something that you don't want to do, like jump over that, bridge or something, or a project that you just think would not be fun. But the truth is if someone asks you, you may feel you can't, and if you can't, you're just not realizing your true ability. But trust that if it's asked, you will be able to do that. And, you may develop new tools or ideas, but you can take it. So if a client asks you to do an assignment, and it seems like an exciting assignment, and it would be fun for you, even if you think, I can't do it, let go of that belief. You can.
Okay.
And take it, accept it, and you'll find a way to do it.
Now, here's another one that I mentioned to you. I don't have enough time. Time management seems critical for people in sales and if they have their own business, being entrepreneurs. Speak about that. What do you mean by I don't have enough time, and how does that limit beliefs? A lot of people say, I don't have enough time. I got to do this and this. I got to go sell. I got to balance the books. I got to go out on calls. I got to handle the service problem. What do you say about that?
Well, people, we all look at time in the 3D world. We look at it as being a linear thing, that it's just going in one direction, and it's very subdivided. And the truth, time is not like that. In fact, Einstein talks a great deal about that fourth dimension, that it is not a linear projection. And if you are present here in present time, right now, in the moment, you have as much time as you need to do what you're doing now. When you think about the future, you are projecting how much time everything's going to take, and how everything's going to move. And you are predicting that you don't have enough time, but actually you are creating that reality of not having enough time by projecting that belief. If you decide, I have enough time for everything I need to do, that time is unlimited, then you create a list of the things that you need to do, and I'll do a calendar and plug in things of where they need to do, or keep a list of the tasks, and then just stay in present time and intend that these things will get done, and they always do. I've even gotten to places quicker than you could imagine. I'll say, I need to be, like even yesterday I had an appointment with an incredible hypnotherapist, in fact, and I was running what I thought was late, and I just said, I need to be in that doctor's office at 1:30, and I just made that decision, and I walked into his office, and he said, you're just in time. So your belief that you don't have enough time causes you to run on this treadmill. If you believe that you have enough time to accomplish everything that you need to do, then it will help you to relax more. You won't be wasting your energy on worrying about not having time. And you'll have enough time to do the things that are most important. And things will sort of shift for you and arrange themselves so that you will have the time that you need.
So I've read in various books that your thoughts affect your attitude, your behavior. What comes first? Is it the beliefs that you have? Are those the thoughts or are those principles and values?
Well, it's a chicken or egg thing. Mm-hmm. The mind does come programmed with certain thoughts, and a lot of us have beliefs built into us from our past. Parents telling us certain things have to be a certain way. A lot of people are told that they're not capable early in life, or that they don't have what it takes, and they may believe that. Other people are taught early in life that wealthy people are evil people, and it's going to be very hard to make money if you believe that having wealth is evil. So that's one right. belief I try to get people to let go of.
Maybe sales would be another one. People don't say, I'm not a good salesperson, or I can't learn this new technology.
Well, it would be impossible to learn something. I found that years ago, and I was a graphic designer, I would teach at the Atlanta College of Art. I would teach graphic designers when the transition was being made to computer. And there were some people that artists and graphic artists wanted to just throw things out on the paper. They wanted to use only their right brain and be very creative. Whereas with the computer, you have to think in a linear way and do things, one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of graphic artists that I work with that said, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. And those people weren't in business a few years later because they couldn't get rid of that belief. And they believed that they wouldn't enjoy art if they did it that way. For me, graphic design is wonderful because you get to use both sides of your brain at the same time. But some people just couldn't believe that that's possible. And in sales, if you believe that, you have to set what your intention is, first of all, what you want. And you can do it in a broad sense for your entire book or your entire life or your entire business, or you can establish what you want in each moment. Like, I'm walking into a meeting, and this guy's really going to like my product. I think that this is a great product, and this is exactly what he needs and or she needs, and it's going to work, and they're going to buy it. And I'm going to have a fun, exciting meeting, and just set your intention. And if you don't believe that, you might as well not walk in the door, because you're going to project negative energy, and they're going to pick it up, and you will get whatever you project.
Now, we have a caller standing by, but I'm going to take the caller. My next question to that is, the question is, how do you build a belief system that works for you and that could be positive? But let me bring on this caller. Welcome to the program. Do you have a question for us? You're talking with Deb Hill. Going once. Go ahead. Is this Norma?
Yes.
Norma, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. Do you have a question for us? What's your question?
Yeah. Does this all boil down to, you know, what you think is who you are? Because, you know, you change your mind, you change your life. It's all seeming to be in that same frame of reference. And I know they talk about that a lot in church, but not a lot of people can really tap into that reservoir. How do you really do that?
That's a great question, Norma. It is true what you think is what you create. And your thoughts are, your mind is sort of a separate entity that kind of goes off on its own. It's kind of, if you're looking at it like a corporation, the mind is a very effective employee, but sometimes it just doesn't have the right ideas, and you got to ignore some of those ideas that the mind is saying and let it go. A lot of times the thoughts are habitual. But what I'm talking about is at a very deep level. You can do it two ways. You can look at your thoughts, and when you're thinking negative thoughts, just stop. There's just, I mean, if you enjoy feeling that way and thinking about yourself that way, then you can do that. Like, I was driving with my husband one day, and I made the wrong turn, and I said, that was so stupid. I can't believe I did that. I don't know why I do those things. And my husband said, stop beating up on my wife.
Okay.
And, you know, he said, I love her, and she makes mistakes sometimes, and it's okay. And, you know, we do that to ourselves so often. We beat up on ourselves. And you have to look at that and just tell your mind from a deeper level, just say, or just stop thinking those negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't serve you whatsoever.
Right. So it all boils down.
Yes?
That the scripture, and I, you know, because what you're talking about is spiritual, you know,
mm-hmm.
life and death and the power of the tongue. You have to be careful not only what you think, but what you actually say.
Oh, absolutely. If you, you know, say it, it's even, you know, taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're thinking it, you know, we communicate on all levels, and your
mm-hmm.
thoughts are being picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But on a very deep level, we have these beliefs programmed into us, which oftentimes are helping us to create those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I talk about in my book how I used to believe that people didn't like me, that I was unlikable. So thoughts I would have was, I can't go over there, those people won't like me, or, well, that will never work, or I don't have any friends. You know, it was true, and all that was a reality, and then I decided to change the belief. And the way I did this, and I describe the meditation in the book and show pictures and stuff, is that instead of going through years of psychotherapy on it, I decided I just need to change this now. So I visualized myself sitting in the center of my head. I did a meditation. And in the meditation, I had a sign that said, I am unlikable. And I threw that sign away. And I wrote down a new sign. I am very likable. People want to be around me. I have a lot of friends. And I put that sign out in my head. And then every time I would go somewhere, I would feel this little tension come up, and I knew my old sign was popping up, and I quickly threw out the old sign and put up the new sign in my head and consciously walked into a room or met people with thinking that about that sign. And my whole life changed. I don't think about it anymore. I have a lot of friends and people who love me. It's just wonderful. I have a great life. But it was silly, because that's, and And when you think that, when I thought that, people who liked me couldn't even get in because I didn't believe that they did. So changing those beliefs is so very important to us. I also, on my website, yourintuitivelife.com, I have a free limiting belief worksheet that you can download, a PDF, that can help you pinpoint your limiting beliefs. And you can work with that and then do that meditation.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, and I look forward to reading your book.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's a great book. It's a great book. Okay. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Norma Stanley. Okay. So that's very interesting. So it's important to visualize what you want. Is that the key to improving your belief system, is to visualize? And
it's the key to creating your entire life.
Okay.
You see, we are the creators of our life. You know, there is a master plan, but we work within the master plan to create what it is we want. We can have what we want, you know, for the most part. Sometimes we ask for things and they're not good for us, and it doesn't happen. But honestly, I've only seen it happen maybe 5% of the time. Most of the time, we can have what it is we want, but we have to think that. And we have to think about it on a daily basis. Like I woke up this morning thinking about what my day would be like and what I saw, what I intended to have happen in this day, how I would feel, how this interview would go, that it would be a great interview. So far, I'm having a great time. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And it's working. So, and then, you know, everything in my day, I visualized it being low stress and all these things coming together. My husband went to a meeting. He has a printing company that does point-of-purchase materials and, you know, backlit signage and all the things that you see at Wachovia or Burger King. And he went to a ad club meeting, and before going to the meeting, he just intended that he was going to meet somebody who had a company that really needed his company. And he went up to the bar, and he was getting a drink, and right away, someone walked up and next to him. They introduced themselves to each other, and this other guy had actually been in a company that had used his printing company in the past, knew the company, was really excited to be reacquainted with it, and had lots of connections for him.
Okay. So that worked.
It worked. It works. And so you have to do it with every breath. You constantly intend what's going to happen in everything in your life, particularly if you're feeling stressed or uneasy, if you've got anxiety going on within you, look at what it is bothering you and make a decision on what is actually going to happen, and then make it positive.
In your life as an entrepreneur, a business owner, sometimes it's rush, rush, rush. What I hear you saying is that we should take a little time to plan, prepare for the next task or the next appointment. You don't rush into something. You think about it, and is that what you're sharing with us today about your intention and belief?
Well, that's part of it. I have recently had some health issues come up for me and realized how toxic rushing is.
Mm-hmm.
Rushing is really not good for us. It doesn't work. So I personally am giving up rushing. I don't rush. I just figure I have enough time. And if I don't feel like I've prepared enough, I just decide, well, I have. Because here I am, and this is coming up, and I have what I need. And that what I'm talking about is, you have to intend what's going to happen. Decide for yourself what the outcome is going to be. Ask for it. Visualize it.
It's interesting you say visualize.
It makes things so much easier, then you don't have to rush as much.
It's interesting you say visualize. When I was in high school, my favorite sport was football. I love that. But my best sport that I was really good at is as a diver.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was taught to visualize the dive before I did the dive, see myself doing it, and it actually worked. I was able to be pretty successful with being a diver because my coach taught me to visualize this. So
that's a great example.
Yeah.
In fact, there's an old Tai Chi story about that, that this young man wanted to be admitted into this very reputable Tai Chi school, you know, thousands of years ago, and the master said, "You're too young. I don't think you're ready for this." So the intended pupil sat outside the door, and for 3 months, he just visualized doing Tai Chi in his head. And he just did that over and over and over. And so finally, they let him in. And when he got in, he was able to do Tai Chi as well or better than most of the students.
I guess this goes well into when you're having a meeting, visualize the success of the meeting, what you're doing, being in command, asking the right questions, closing the deal, and taking the step forward. So that's visualization. Let's talk. You talked a little bit about rushing. If I can, I like to take a nap. An hour and a half, 2 hours if I have to. I'll shut it down. I cut the phone off, and I just relax. And I don't think about anything else. What is your thoughts on that? Is that wrong, right? Is I'm on the right track here? I feel so much better. I mean, I got it from visiting Spain where they have the siestas.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts there? Is that wrong, or is that okay?
Well, we all have a schedule that our bodies like to keep. I know that there are certain times of the day that I'm just not on. And if I try to push myself through those times, I'm just not going to be as effective. So if you really feel like you need a nap and you take it and you recharge yourself, you'll actually have more time to do the things that you do in the other times because you'll be recharged. It's kind of like, you know, you're trying to run your car and the battery's low. Or, you know, well, maybe that's a bad example because the battery starts.
No, I understand.
Or if you have a bad fuel.
Well, it doesn't crank if the battery's down.
It's not
going
to go the full speed. Then right. It's going to end up taking you more time than before. Another thing is we also decide that we have so many tasks that actually have to happen. And we define those tasks, and when I gave up rushing, there are some tasks that I have planned to do that are not happening. However,
those
tasks, just I realize over time, it doesn't need to happen. And then everything is happening at the right time. When it's time for that thing to happen, it happens.
Okay. Now, you shared with us the story about the jeweler, I guess, became an interior designer. And then your husband, who thought about that he wanted a new client, and he found that client. What's, for entrepreneurs listening, what would be another good one that you could share that, yeah, I think, what was the one we talked about a couple of days ago was the lawyer. Yeah, you had a lawyer that didn't like being a lawyer anymore. Go figure that.
So I had a lawyer who came to me who was really desperate for a job. She wasn't liking the jobs that she had, and she was in between jobs. And I said to her, well, you don't want to be a lawyer. She said, well, but I am a lawyer, and I need to make money. I said, but you also have a lot of other skills and things that you love to do. You love being organized, and you love being creative and inventive, and perhaps you could find a job where you use your legal skills, but you aren't actually a lawyer. And she took that to heart, and she saw what I was saying, and so allowed herself to have the freedom to create a job that she really would love. And she came back to me with three different opportunities that she found, and we looked at the three different opportunities, and one of them was putting her into a position that she had never, it would be more of a CFO type position where she would also be legal counsel, but she would be able to help this company go national and she would be one of the heads of the organization. A part of her said, well, I've never done this before, but we both saw that she had the skills for it, and as I said, if you're asked to do something, you can do it. So she went for it, and I never saw her again, but I did see one of the people who knew her really well and said, have you seen what's gone on with her? She is just so successful, and the business took off, and she's having such a great life, and she's so happy. She's just...
And she's not an attorney anymore. Interesting. In your book, Unlimited Life, we talked a little bit about limiting beliefs, but you also have power truths. What's one power truth that you like? Because you have 16 in here. We don't want to want people to get the book, but what is one of your 16 power truths?
Well, you have to really understand what the belief is. One of the beliefs that I have is I need, a limiting belief is I need to avoid making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is if you aren't really able to be courageous enough to make mistakes, then you aren't ever going to succeed. Mistakes are a way of showing that you're on the way to succeeding. So my power truth that you could change the sign in your head to is, mistakes are laurels on our way to mastery of the new. You're never going to do anything right, or maybe you are once in a while. Like water skiing, I stood up on the first time, and very humbling to my boyfriend that took 30 minutes to do it, but that was a long time ago.
Wow.
But the truth is, in most cases, you're going to try something out, and we're going to make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we're wrong or that we've done something bad. It means that we're learning, and that the next time we do it, we're going to do it a little better. Everybody's using, you know, the fact that Einstein, you know, took, or Edison took 10,000 tries to create a light bulb. You know, so if he didn't do it, 9,999 mistakes, he says those aren't mistakes. Those are 9,999 ways he learned that don't work, and each one of those pointed to him to the direction where that he could change something to maybe make it work.
Well, that's why I always I do like a lot of role plays with my clients and say, hey, let's just try it. Let's see what happens, and we learn from it, and we keep going. So another question, this is something that I guess we're reversing the roles here. You're coaching me in some ways, but I encourage my clients, you've got to focus. What you focus on expands, and it gets better, such as focusing on profitability, focusing on sales, your key performance indicators like profit and profit margin and sales per client, and your success rate, your conversion rate. What are your thoughts on focusing on those items in your business? And how does that relate to law of attraction and limiting beliefs and that?
Well, I think it's important to, like I said, I think by focus it's the same thing as coming up with an intention of deciding what it is that you want. And then you're choosing different focal points that you want to use to build into that business. It's important to look at your profitability, and if you're not being profitable, to adjust your master plan and to put out, and also look at your beliefs to make sure that the profit margin keeps increasing.
Okay.
It's,
so the coach is right.
Yeah, you're right. Now, focus is a good word.
Uh-huh.
Worry is not a good word.
Okay.
You know, if you're worrying about your bottom line or worrying about your sales, then you're creating negative energy.
Focusing. I always tell my clients that you know, when I'm taking my walk, run in the morning, I come up with ideas, new ideas. It could be on sales or the profitability or the new media stuff or something for my client. I'm focusing, and I come up with an idea. Maybe it's a new quiz or a new survey that I come up with, because I'm focusing on that thing, and it comes to me in the really unique times. Why is it that some ideas come to you, just pop up? Is it because you're focusing on it, or you're your mind's relaxed and the brain's working on what you want to focus on, and then it gives you an idea that, that you can take advantage of? How does that work?
It's all those things.
Uh-huh.
What happens is when you're focusing on something and you have this intention, it all of a sudden it creates that for you. Will you repeat that question again?
Oh, yeah. It was just basically what I talk about. It's really interesting when I think about my sales, my clients, I want to help them. And when I'm exercising or I'm doing something, I'm getting away from the business,
right,
but an idea pops up. I'm laying down, or maybe I'm asleep and I'm waking up and I think of a really nice idea to help my clients, or maybe it's a new quiz or a survey, and it just comes to me and I get up and I write it down.
Well,
we
come up with things on all different levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not, one of my beliefs is that we are our bodies. And the truth is there's a lot more to us than what's actually in the body. We have a higher spirit or essential awareness. And there's also, we're all infinitely connected to each other, so there's information that's floating around. I mean, we don't end right at our body. Everything is one mass connected, even though you can't see it. So the key is you are in a place and you've opened yourself up and asked enough that you have this awareness. It's like you've created this pocket or this vacuum, mm-hmm, so that this information can come in. Because that kind of stuff comes a lot as I teach people how to be intuitive, because there's a lot of information that can come to you if you're open to it and if you pay attention to it. Like a lot of people might have been running and they wake up in the morning and they get this idea and they just don't even think about it. They just let it go. But you're open enough to it, or you paid attention enough that you even heard it and you grasped it and you used it.
That's interesting, because this morning I was preparing. I don't know if I should mention this on the air, but I was a little restless. I woke up at like 2:00 in the morning, and then I really couldn't go back to sleep. I was thinking about some of the questions I want to ask you,
mm-hmm,
for this interview, and these are some of the questions I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
And it was bugging you. I'm like, and I never could really, didn't really get a good night's sleep, but it was. I really wanted to put this down. We're almost out of time. I think we got less than about 15 minutes, but I got a few others. Is it okay that we have a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I'm really enjoying this. The other question I had, we were talking about this. What do entrepreneurs do in a slow economy or a challenging economy? You had a very good answer to that. And you're saying what's the answer? What's going on with this economy?
As I see it, first of all, this is not unusual that we have a down period, because there are ups and downs. They always happen.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And one of the beliefs that I use to get me through this period is what goes down must come up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a temporary thing. And you just have to make your way through it. But as I see it, I see this as a transition period. I've seen people making a lot of changes. People are starting to slow down a little bit. They're starting to look at their values and reevaluating what's important in their life. And I see that companies are doing that. All of a sudden, the environment is finally becoming important to a lot of people. And as you make change in your life, as you know, like if you move to a new city, it takes you a while to reorient to the new city, and you have to unpack your boxes, and it takes time, and you have a little downtime. Well, I think that we're going to see a lot of change happening in the next 5 years, and this is the beginning of it. It's not going to be down all that time, but we're going to eliminate things that we don't need, and we're going to build things that are going to work for us in a new and better way. And we all need to be doing that individually. So if it's a slow time in a business, even in, you know, you're going to have slow times in business even when your business is doing really well. And it's really scary as an entrepreneur when you have slow times. And I have to admit, it took me years to get this down, you know, but I would worry and not sleep at night. And because my business was slow, it finally took a while till I realized, yes, you always have slow periods. And in fact, the slower the period, the faster the next period's going to go. So you better get rest. You better clean your desk. And you better, you know, learn the new software. That's
right.
What worked for my – get things ready. I had a client come in last February, and her business was really slow, and she – she was looking at maybe firing people because cash flow was really low. And I said, it looks like you have some new great ideas for your business. You're wanting to reshape it in some ways. And she says, yeah, I thought about that. I said, well, this is the time to do it. And it's not time to fire people. It's time to start looking at who you're going to hire when the business starts to really take off. Because it will, and it has. She's doing, you know, a few months later, she got a couple new accounts. Now she's got international accounts. She's added a whole new department to her firm, and she's just flying. She's doing great.
Yeah. Okay. Now I had maybe two or three more questions. I got to get this in. Talk with my clients about vision, mission, being unique. So I always tell people, you got to have what's your vision for your company and define it, quantify it. It could be, I want to be a $1 million business in 5 to 10 years. If the mission is really how are you going to accomplish your vision, it could be, I'm going to start doing webinars once a month, or I'm going to do a radio show or internet radio show. I'm going to start a blog or start podcasting or start committing to getting active on the social media. So how does that, the mission, the vision, and how does that relate to what we've been discussing? Is that still focused?
Oh, yeah. The mission or the vision, of course, is your intention of how it's going to happen. And your mission is coming up with steps and things that you feel that you believe. You see, we're here to grow and learn, as I see it. That's for most of us, that's our purpose here, is to grow and learn. So you're going to grow and learn through this entire process. And creating your mission, all the tasks that you feel you need to do, are things that you're going to grow into and are going to help to expand you. Now, the mission has to be fluid. You can't make an excuse because I'm too tired or something, or you can't put it off for I'd rather go out to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But if something's not working for you, you need to be flexible enough to say, you know, I've been putting my money or my time into this, and that I think that part needs to come out, and I need to do other things. Then you need to be able to be flexible, but you have to be active with it. And again, you have to be open and aware for things coming to you. Because you have to remember, there's this belief that I am making it happen. You're defining it, you're asking for it, but then the actualization of it is not happening just from you. It's going to happen from you and everything around you. It's going to help you to create what it is you want.
So it is important to come up with your company vision and your company mission, because that's your intent and you're committing to action. Another thing, we've got maybe 5 minutes left. I always share with my clients that you have to show how you're unique. And then I always ask people, what are the 10 ways in which you're unique in your business? How does that relate to what we're talking about, uniqueness?
I think that's a great idea to have people to look at themselves this way, because for one thing, we are all connected and we all work together, but we are individuals. And if you really, you have to really love yourself. You have to have a lot of faith in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up with 10 unique things that you really believe in, that you're really good at, can help bolster your self-confidence and help you give direction and to what it is that you need to do and where you need to go. It can also help you in hiring, because if one of your unique talents is not organization, then maybe you need to hire someone to do your filing for you.
Oh, that's good. And you got to know who you are. There may be some tests like DISC or others. And if we want to get a hold of you, how can we reach you? You mentioned your website before. And what's your website again?
Your, Y-O-U-R, intuitive, I-N-T-U-I-T-I-V-E, life.com.
Yourintuitivelife.com. All right. Go ahead.
My phone number is 404-459-0590.
Okay.
Both of those will work.
Yeah, we've got maybe less than 5 minutes to go. I'm a proponent of this technology, this new media stuff. Podcasts, blogs, wikis, social online networking. What are your thoughts on that and how it applies to the law of attraction and energy and beliefs? Does that matter, or can that help you? This technology.
Absolutely.
Stuff,
if you want to be found, it helps the universe to bring those people to you. If you put yourself out there, I have several blogs going, and I have articles that I submit. You can sign up for my free newsletter where I send you an article, and that article goes out to several article sites throughout the country. And I blog, and I'm working on doing podcasts that will be out there. The more you're out there, the more people can find you and can come to you. And it makes it easier for the forces to bring you together if you're out there. If you're just sitting here in your office praying, you know, it can happen, but it's going to take a long time. I used to laugh because I was looking for a mate, and I realized that I believed that it was going to happen, but I realized it's going to be really tough if I'm just sitting in my living room eating popcorn and watching movies all the time. I have to go outside. It's, you know, how are they going to get the person to my door? That's making it a little more challenging. So the more you're out there, the more there are touchstones for the people who need to find you to find you.
And so you use ways and technologies one way. You know, you can write articles, you can do podcasts, you can write a blog, you can get involved in the social media like LinkedIn, and I have my own social online network, or you've got Twitter, all those things can really get you out there and expose you. Okay. So how do you help entrepreneurs in their business? You have workshops, you have coaching that you do. How does that work?
I have the individual coaching. I can also coach companies. I can come in and I can talk to them about various aspects of my book or different. I have a lot of different topics of things I speak about on how to use your time and be more efficient, get how to use the law of attraction in business, using your intuition in business. And I also work with people teaching classes on how to be intuitive so people can attend my classes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Be careful, because
really
you want to increase the competition.
Well, see, I believe there's enough for everybody. So
okay, abundance. Okay, all right. I have one more question I got to do, because we're running out of time, but there's one question that I want to ask. Is I wrote something and did a commentary on embracing the unknown, and the thought behind that was that, just as an example, there were ice harvesters. You had lakes, and if people wanted ice, they cut the ice out of the lake. And that was a booming business. And then that waned a little bit. They got replaced by factories in cities that were producing the ice. and they were doing pretty well until, you know, refrigerators came in. This is a revolutionary idea to have, that you can have ice in your home.
Uh-huh.
And then, so it's interesting that ice harvesters didn't see that they could build factories in cities. And then the factories, the owners, the business owners, didn't see that you could have a machine or equipment that, that may produce ice in their own homes.
Uh-huh.
My thought was is that if you're in this business, you have to adapt with the changing times and the technology. You think of IBM, where they came, I mean, the first people came out with a computer, but they had the mainframe computers. They were pretty popular. They didn't see that the PC was coming, and they kind of were, Apple seized on the PC initially and worked it, but Apple didn't see Microsoft coming, and so Microsoft said the software is the thing. And then after the software, Microsoft, now we're thinking about Google, and Google is all the rage because they're saying it's about the search and the internet, not necessarily software. You don't have to have all the software on your computer. What are your thoughts on, and I talk about, you have to embrace the unknown, and a lot of times entrepreneurs are afraid to adapt and embrace the unknown in technology or learning new things. What are your thoughts as we conclude?
The change is always scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually one of the positive changes is one of the most frightening things we undergo. We know how to suffer. We've done that in the past. Most of us have failed at something, so we're good at it, and we know how to do that. But changing and growing and going into a new area is always scary because you've never been there before. It's like moving to a new city. You don't know the roads. You don't know the best restaurants. You don't know people, and you have to learn that. But if it's a better place for you, you will learn it, and you will be in a better space when you do that. So that's how we learn and grow. We take those chances. We're brave, and we know that this is the right thing to do, and we go for it. And we create a great life for ourselves.
And if you don't, you become an ice harvester or an ice factory, and you'll be out of business.
You're just shoveling out more of the same, yeah.
All right, so I always like to ask this question. Tell me something I don't know. Tell us something we don't know. You probably shared a lot of stuff that we don't know. Is there any other interesting facts or prediction based on the industry that you do? Is there anything else out there that you kind of want to summarize for us in this interview as we wrap up? Tell us something we don't know.
That's a very broad question.
Okay. It's okay.
What I see, you may know this or not, but that everybody on this call was meant to be together. Like,
oh,
you're not alone on the phone call. That everybody is here as a group, and we're all learning this together, and this is one unit that came together to hear this information. And I may be doing a lot of the talking, but you're feeding me with your understanding, your interest, and your questions, and it's all interaction.
Hmm.
So we're not.
Wow.
There is no coincidence that this is all happening. And when I have classes, the classes that come together, those people need to work together. And everywhere you go, you're at the right place.
Man, all right. And a special offer again. Your website is
yourintuitivelife.com.
Yourintuitivelife.com. And your special offer, they go to your website. What is it that they can get from you?
There's a free download of a limiting beliefs worksheet. And if you'd like, I can also do a free 10-minute coaching session to see,
okay,
see what it's like to be coached by me and get an understanding of it.
Excellent. Okay.
Also, you can purchase the book there, and I have articles that I've written in the past that you can purchase, as well as greeting cards and prints. And
I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, and products. It's under products. Or you can buy the book at Amazon. for BarnesandNoble.com, or you can buy it at some local bookstores or at least have it ordered through the local bookstores. Unlimited.
And it is a great book. I've been reading it. It's really, really good. It got me going, and that's why I had to cover the questions that I had for you. So thank you very much. It's Deborah or is it Deborah Hill?
Deborah Hill.
Deborah Hill. Thank you so very much, Deborah. We went over an hour, but I really, really enjoyed this. It's been fascinating talking about intuition and passion and entrepreneurship. So,
well,
thank you
for talking with me. I really love sharing, and you had some great questions. I really appreciate it.
All right, well, we appreciate you. So that is the show. The question is, what have you learned today? How will you apply what you've learned? Specifically, what action steps will you implement to improve your business and increase your profitability? Don't forget to listen to the show on iTunes. We're on iTunes. You can go to the business podcast section, enter E3C, the Passion Entrepreneur. You'll find us. Tell a business associate, a friend, a relative about the show. You'll be happy that you did. Well, they'll be happy that you did. And if you're interested in a free consultation, I do offer that for the first 10 people. 10 inquiries, I will do that. I get a lot of downloads, thousands of downloads per week, but I will give 10 free consultations at no cost. That's what free is all about. So go to businesssalesandprofitsnow.com. That's Better Sales and Profits Now and sign up now. And if you're looking for new ideas and strategies to build your successful business and want some helpful tips, we got close to 400 of those. You can subscribe to our newsletters, Better Sales and Profits Now. Or you can, if you want to connect with entrepreneurs, you can go to my-business-community.com and join E3C Connect. We have a networking session we do every Tuesday from 8 to 9 online, 8 to 9 online. Last year we connected 500 businesses. This year we're about 460. So anyway, that's the show. Thank you so very much. Dare to be great. Be remarkable. Be extraordinary. Stay profitable and go make that sale.